Welcome to today's conference call. At this time, your lines have been placed on listen-only for today's conference until the question-and-answer portion of our call, at which time you will be prompted to press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. Please ensure that your line is unmuted, and please record your name and affiliation to be introduced to ask your question. You will be limited to one question for today's conference. Conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I will now turn conference over to our host, Mr. Ben Haynes. Sir, you may proceed.
Thank you, Jill, and thank you all for joining us today for this briefing to discuss changes to CDC's quarantine guidance and considerations to domestic travel. Today, we are joined by Dr. Henry Walk, the incident manager for CDC's COVID-19 response. He is the CDC expert charged with overseeing the day-to-day management of the agency's COVID pandemic response activities. We are also joined by Dr. John Brooks, last name spelled B-R-O-O-K-S, and he's the chief medical officer for CDC's COVID-19 response. And finally, Dr. Cindy Friedman, last name spelled F-R-I-E-D-M-A-N, and she is CDC's chief of the Travelers Health Branch. Dr. Walk will provide opening remarks, and then all of our experts will be happy to take your questions. This is an on-the-record briefing and not under embargo. At this time, I will turn the call over to Dr. Walk.
Yeah, thank you, Ben, and I thank all of you for joining us today. CDC's foremost commitment to our nation is to protect the health of the American public. We do this by learning all we can about emerging infectious diseases and applying that knowledge to reasonable, common-sense recommendations. This is especially true in facing this pandemic. As we learn more about the virus that causes COVID-19, we continue to refine our guidance to prevent transmission and protect Americans. Since the start of the pandemic, CDC has recommended that those who have been exposed to someone with COVID-19 quarantine for 14 days after exposure. Quarantine helps prevent spread of disease that can occur before a person knows they have the virus. CDC continues to recommend quarantining for 14 days as the best way to reduce the risk of spreading COVID-19. Additionally, after reviewing and analyzing new research and modeling data, CDC has identified two acceptable alternative quarantine periods that we are announcing today. Under these options, quarantine can end after 10 days without a COVID-19 test if the person has reported no symptoms, or after 7 days with a negative test result if the person has reported no symptoms. I want to stress that we are sharing these options with public health agencies across the country so that they can determine how long quarantine periods should last in their jurisdictions based on local conditions and needs. Everyone should follow the specific guidance from their local public health authorities about how long they should quarantine. People should still watch for symptoms during quarantine for a full 14 days after exposure, especially if quarantine is discontinued early. Reducing the length of quarantine may make it easier for people to take this critical public health action by reducing the economic hardship associated with a longer period, especially if they cannot work during that time. In addition, a shorter quarantine period can lessen stress on the public health system and communities, especially when new infections are rapidly rising. With the upcoming winter holidays, it is important for people to keep themselves and their families as safe as possible. CDC recommends that the best way to protect yourself and others is to postpone travel and stay home. If you do decide to travel, CDC recommends that travelers consider getting tested 1 to 3 days before travel, and then again 3 to 5 days after travel. And this should be combined with reducing non-essential activities for a full 7 days after travel. If travelers do not get tested after traveling, CDC recommends reducing non-essential activities for 10 days. If at any point during or after traveling you experience symptoms of COVID-19, please follow CDC and local guidance about what to do if you get sick. Testing does not eliminate all risk, but when combined with reducing non-essential activities, symptom screening, and continuing with precautions like wearing masks, social distancing, and hand washing, it can make travel safer. Finally, we continue to encourage all Americans to wear a mask, maintain social distance, staying 6 feet apart from people who don't live with you, avoiding crowds and indoor spaces, and washing your hands often. Even as vaccines become available, taking these protective actions is critical until COVID-19 vaccination becomes widely adopted. Thank you, and I look forward to your questions.
Thank you, Dr. Walk. Jill, we're ready to take questions.
Thank you. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. Please record your name and affiliation for to be introduced to ask your question. Our first question is from Emma Court with Bloomberg News. Your line is open.
Hi. Thanks for holding this call. I'm hoping you can speak a little bit more to the evidence around shortening these quarantine periods, and specifically around the risk that people who are infected, might still, be out there, after, 10 days of quarantining without symptoms. Can you talk a little bit about what the risks that this approach might raise? And I'm also hoping you can speak specifically around this travel guidance, given the upcoming Christmas holiday. Is the CDC prepared to issue the same kind of wording around Thanksgiving around Christmas?
Thank you, Emma, for that question. First, for the quarantine question, I'm going to turn to Dr. Brooks, and then we'll turn to Dr. Friedman for the traveler question. Dr. Brooks?
Hi. Thanks, Emma. So the recommendation that's being made today was based on extensive modeling, not just by CDC, but by other agencies and partners outside of CDC, including academic centers and some public health departments. Some of these data are published in pre-peer review websites, and we'd be happy to refer you to those if you can't find them, and they're going to be on what's put on our website today when this goes live. All of these point in the same direction, which is that we can safely reduce the length of quarantine, but accepting there is a small residual risk that a person who is leaving quarantine early could transmit to someone else if they became infectious. Those risks are as follows. In this situation where quarantine is reduced to 10 days, we calculate that the residual risk is about 1%, and that the upper limit of that risk is about 12%. And that is in the context of both monitoring symptoms during the quarantine period, and importantly, to add to what Dr. Walk said, that they also need to monitor for symptoms for the remainder of the 14 days, and should they develop symptoms, contact their local public health authority or their health care provider to share their change in status and seek out testing, isolating, of course, during that time. For the 7-day quarantine, the residual risk with a test that's negative is about 5%. And the upper limit is around 10%. The test will be collected within 48 hours of the anticipated time of discharge. And we hope that helps people with test delays.
Great. Thank you. John, let's move on to the travel question. Dr. Friedman?
Hi, thanks. I think the question was about, are we recommending the same travel guidance as we did for Thanksgiving? And yes, cases are rising, and the safest thing to do is to postpone holiday travel and stay home. Travel volume was high over Thanksgiving, and even if only a small percentage of those travelers were asymptomatically infected, this can translate into hundreds of thousands of additional infections moving from one community to another. Travel is a door-to-door experience that can spread virus during the journey and also into communities that travelers visit or live. We are trying to reduce the number of infections by postponing travel over the winter holiday. So again, the safest option is to postpone travel, but if people do decide to travel, then CDC does recommend that travelers consider getting tested with a viral test 1 to 3 days before their trip, and again, consider getting tested after their trip at 3 to 5 days with reducing non-essential activities for a full 7 days after travel, even if their test is negative. And I just want to also point out that testing does not eliminate all risks, But when it's combined with reducing non-essential activities, symptom screening, other precautions such as wearing masks and social distancing, it can make travel safer by reducing the spread of COVID-19. Thanks.
Jill, next question, please.
Our next question is from Victoria Sanchez with ABC7 News. Your line is open.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I'm hoping someone could speak to the approval from the UK for the Pfizer vaccine and what that could mean for the US. And if somebody knows kind of how the US and UK differ on their approval process, I would appreciate just a brief explanation. Thank you.
Yeah, hi, this is Henry. So we read the news as you did this morning. So we're still evaluating, that approval. I'm in the UK, and obviously we have our own procedures in place with FDA and then with our ACIP process as well. So I wouldn't want to comment too much at this moment. I would say that, the U.S. has a process in place for approval, and we're continuing with that process.
Next question, please.
Our next question is from Jeremy Olson with the Star Tribune. Your line is open.
Yeah, just a little bit more about the risk. Maybe Dr. Brooks can address this regarding the shorter quarantine. Why 10 days? Was there any thinking about 8 days or 12 days and the risk calculations changing? Why does 10 days seem appropriate for this particular update?
Well, it's a combination, I think, of two things. That 10 days is where that risk got into a sweet spot we liked, at about 1%. That's a very acceptable risk, I think, for many people. It also aligns nicely with our recommendations around isolation, which I'll note we're not changing presently, so I don't want to confuse, but we also say isolation can end at 10 days if a person has had more than 24 hours of recovery after their illness.
Next question, please.
Our next question is from Joel Achenbach with The Washington Post. Your line is open.
Thank you so much for having this briefing. I was hoping that maybe you could comment on what you saw this past weekend with all the Thanksgiving travel. And Dr. Friedman, you mentioned that there was a lot of travel and it could lead to hundreds of thousands of new infections. I mean, did you feel that people did not pay attention to the guidance, or did they in fact do what you thought they would do, and there was much less travel than a year ago? And what I'm really looking for is an assessment of where we are right now in this fall/winter wave of the pandemic, and how you assess the overall picture, because it does look a lot like 1918 all over again. And maybe you can comment on that and deliver a message that we can relay to our readers and viewers.
Yeah, this is Henry. I'll start with that. We did put out a message to postpone and stay at home around Thanksgiving, and we're putting out the same message. The best thing for Americans to do in the upcoming holiday season is to stay at home and not travel. We do have recommendations out related if the people do travel, how to travel safely. And now today, we're also releasing guidance related to consider testing before and after travel. So, Cindy, did you want to elaborate on that a little bit more?
No, thanks, Henry. I would just say that, we know it's a hard decision and that people need to have time to prepare and have discussions with family and friends and to make these decisions, and people travel for different reasons. But our recommendations are trying to help give them the tools they need to make these tough choices. I think it's a good thing that people have options to prevent infection, and they can take time now before the Christmas holidays. We have several weeks to really think about the safest option for them and their family, which we think is to postpone travel, and then we've outlined all the other measures that they can take if they do have to travel.
Next question, please.
Our next question is from Betsy McKay with the Wall Street Journal. Your line is open.
Hi, thanks very much. I wanted to ask again about testing. First of all, what type of tests would qualify for travelers and also people who want to test out after 7 days? And secondly, you know, there have been problems with testing capacity recently as demand increases. So how can you address that? How difficult do you think it's going to be for people to get a test? Are they going to end up having to quarantine for 10 days anyway? Or, you know, what is being done to kind of accommodate this change in quarantine recommendations?
Hi, Betsy. Thanks for that question. So in terms of the type of test, either the PCR test or the antigen test may be used for discontinuing quarantine. In our modeling, either test came out with about the same residual risk. In terms of capacity, that's one of the reasons why we're offering options that don't require testing. We recognize that testing is difficult in some locations, and that our public health partners have now options to choose something that will suit the circumstances in their community based both on those circumstances and the relative resources they have available.
Next question, please.
Our next question is from Michelle Merrill with Medscape. Your line is open.
Thank you so much for taking my question. I wanted to ask about the surge in hospitalizations and wondered if you have any guidance for hospitals that are overwhelmed. What are things that you would be recommending, let's say, triaging patients or even perhaps rationing care, hospital at home? Are you looking at any measures or recommendations to help hospitals with this surge?
Yeah, thanks for that question. We do have on our on our website now for hospitals and hospital administrators and physicians to consider as hospital beds are occupied with more and more COVID-19 patients, some considerations on how to approach that. And that would include freeing up beds, for example, non-essential surgeries, for example, also how to open up new beds, new wards for these types of patients, as well as recommendations around utilization of staff and PPE. So certainly we're all very concerned about the rise in hospitalizations across the country, and we really want to prevent these hospitalizations as best we can. And so one of the best ways to prevent hospital strain is for people to keep from becoming infected in the first place. And then we'd go back to this idea at the community level and at the individual level, you know, wearing a mask, maintaining distance, washing your hands, and avoiding these large gatherings or indoor spaces where, you know, transmission may occur. So we do have a number of things up on our website that provide guidance for hospital administrators and physicians. But again, the best way to approach this, I believe, is to prevent the infections.
Next question, please.
Our next question is from Beth Galvin with Fox 5 in Atlanta. Your line is open.
Hi, thank you for having this call. I appreciate it, and thank you for taking my question. I had a couple questions, but one I wanted to ask, we had heard, you know, that there may be a surge within a surge of cases tied to holiday travel. How quickly will that show up if that is going to be the case? And the other question I had, and you just commented about staying out of sort of areas where we may have some transmission, like indoor crowded areas. How risky is restaurant dining right now when we talk about indoors and cold weather?
Yeah, thanks for that question. You know, the surge upon a surge is obviously a concern. We never really gone back down the baseline. You know, we had an increase in cases in the summertime. We had another peak, and then cases came down, and then but not down, you know, ever below 20 or 10,000 cases per day. So then as we approached the fall, we saw this sort of rapid increase in cases, almost an exponential increase in cases. And now with the holiday season, we will with the Thanksgiving holiday, we would expect to see a tick up in cases, you know, 7 to 10 days basically after that holiday. And your second question again, I'm sorry. Yeah, thank you. Restaurant dining. So, outdoor is safer than indoor. We're concerned about indoor spaces, poorly ventilated indoor spaces. Restaurants typically, are some of those spaces where transmission can occur. So again, we're trying to open the windows, ventilation, dine outside, and really avoid these crowded indoor spaces.
Next question, please.
And our next question is from Hillary Brick with Business Insider. Your line is open.
Hi, yeah, thanks for taking my call. My question, I wanted to ask more specifics about the testing out of quarantine. When is the best time to do that? Should people go get a test on the first day of quarantine, on the fifth day of quarantine? Talk about, like, when's the best time?
Well, the recommendation for discontinuation of quarantine at day 7 with a negative test, our modeling shows, our modeling was based on collecting the specimen within the 48 hours prior to the time of anticipated discharge. So it could be a test that was done that day if you have an antigen test potentially, but we also provide the possibility for collecting the specimen up to 48 hours beforehand if they're going to have a PCR test, which may take a day or two to get the result back.
Next question, please.
And our next question is from Ashley Thompson with CBS 46 News. Your line is open.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for taking my question. It really is just, why do you think now is the best time to make these alternative recommendations? Do you fear that, people might hear this and go, oh, it's not that bad, because, we can get out of quarantine earlier, especially as cases continue to rise across the country?
We in a situation where cases are rising, that means that the number of contacts are rising and the number of people who require quarantine is rising. That's a lot of burden, not just on the people who have to quarantine, but also on public health. Many times the public health authority is responsible for monitoring people during quarantine. They have to follow them to the end. And we believe that if we can reduce the burden a little bit, accepting that it comes at a small cost, we may get a greater compliance overall with people completing a full quarantine of, let's say, 7 days. And when more people complete that, if we get more people on board to complete that overall, that will result in fewer infections.
Next question, please.
Our next question is from Sam Whitehead with WABE. Your line is open. Mr. Whitehead, is your line on mute for your question?
Sorry, yes, here. Sorry about that. So y'all made these strong recommendations about avoiding Thanksgiving travel very close to that Thanksgiving holiday. And here we are 3 weeks and some change out from when people will start traveling for Christmas. Are you coming out today with this language about travel because you missed an opportunity at Thanksgiving to message that sooner? We also saw here in Georgia state leaders following y'all's recommendations only once they had been made from the CDC. So is your hope that now you're making these recommendations about travel today that state public health officials will come out with their own kind of messaging to their states?
This is Henry. So I would say that we're happy we're coming out with this guidance now before the holiday season to provide additional considerations for the American public and healthcare providers and public health administrators to think through in terms of preventing infection. So our hope is before Thanksgiving and now before the upcoming holiday season that people hear our message about avoiding travel, staying at home, and protecting themselves, especially now. And the reason we're coming out before Thanksgiving and now is that cases are rising, hospitalizations are increasing, deaths are increasing, and we need to try to bend the curve, stop this exponential increase. And so we're really asking the American public to prevent these infections and avoid travel and wash their hands, wear a mask, and maintain distance.
Next question, please.
Our next question is from Max Baer with CBS News. Your line is open.
Hi, all. Thanks for having this call. On the quarantine guidelines, was this reinforced by any contact tracing or movement data? In other words, did the CDC know the percentage of potentially exposed individuals who were not quarantining for 14 days, and did that affect this decision?
Hi, Max. We actually, it's very hard to get those data. We don't have very specific numbers, but let me tell you what we do know. We are hearing anecdotally from our partners in public health that many people are discontinuing quarantine ahead of time because there's pressure to go back to work, to get people back into school, and it imposes both a mental and possibly also physical burden on individuals. One of our hopes is that we can increase adherence to quarantine if we reduce the amount of time they have to spend. And that has important consequences for contact tracing as well. If a person is willing to be more compliant with a shorter quarantine, they may also be willing to share the names of contacts. We know that people sometimes don't do that because they don't want to potentially give out the name of a friend or a neighbor and force them into quarantine. And as well, we hope that this will increase the willingness of people to pick up the phone and answer when public health calls them because they've been one of the people who've been named.
Jill, we have time for one more question, please.
That question will come from Sarah Miller with NBC News. Your line is open.
Hi. Thank you for having this. I just wanted to get a little more clarity on the testing out of quarantine. So you said 48 hours before. Does that mean a person could, you know, get tested? You're saying a person could get tested on day 5?
That's right. They could be tested on day 5 if that, but they have to complete 7 days of quarantine. And I want to be very clear about that. It can be any time in the 48 hours prior to the anticipated time of discharge, but they do have to get all the way to that end of 7 days, regardless of when the result of the test comes back. And if the test hasn't come back by the end of 7 days, they can discontinue quarantine when they get the negative result. They need the negative result to discontinue.
Thank you, Dr. Walk, Dr. Brooks, and Dr. Friedman. This will conclude our call. I'd like to thank you all for joining us. If you have any additional questions, please feel free to call our main media line at 404-639-3286, or you can email media@cdc.gov. Thank you.
This does conclude today's conference call. We thank you all for participating. You may now disconnect and have a great rest of your day.